The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, it's Amy and Kevin Wood from Rome, Georgia, and we love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 318 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. And now, here's Michelle.
My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and with me on the show is my lovely co-host, Mike Scopa. How are you doing today, Mike?
Thanks for having me on the show, Michelle. I've been dying to come back. I really enjoyed my last time, and looking forward to
the
show.
This may be the last time.
I hope I can add to whatever you're going to talk about.
And do you have a shout-out? I'm putting you
I was
the
told
spot.
There would be no shout-outs.
Okay, that's fine. We'll get right to our wonderful guest. And our guest is Seth Ziegler, who is a trainer and a wellness coach and is my trainer at the YMCA and the few times that I've seen him recently. But we would like to welcome him back to the show because he's been on before. Welcome back, Seth.
Thanks for having me.
And I always forget, am I saying your last name the right way? I'm very sensitive about this.
Ziegler, yeah.
Ziegler. Oh, I said it wrong. Sorry.
Well, all right. My family spells it wrong, so you're really kind of off the hook.
Okay.
It's like the wrestler Dolph Ziegler.
Yeah. That's Ziegler, though, right?
Well.
All right. Well, so this is the background for this podcast. So I don't remember if it was when I was training for Dopey, where you're running 4 days in a row, Seth. I know you haven't done a Disney race, or the Boston Marathon this year, but I was just really, really having a hard time training through the winter, in the winter months, and it sent me into the gym, running on the treadmill. Several times I ran 21 miles on the treadmill, and I mentioned this to you, and you had a pained look on your face, and to talk about how horrible, what a torture that was. So when a trainer tells you that the exercise you're doing sounds like torture, you sit up and listen. So anyway, we had this conversation, and the conversation was how you were thinking about, why don't you tell us what it was?
Well, it's funny because around that time is probably this past February of this year, 2015. And this past winter, we had a ton of snow. And it's funny, it didn't start till late January, but we just got historic amounts in a short period of time. But it was amazing snow because it was all powdery and it was beautiful and it's what I call usable. I mean, anyone that has lived in New England for any amount of time knows that a lot of times we'll get a beautiful snowfall followed by, a 39 degree day with rain, followed by a 28 degree day that turns it to ice. So I'd been out really enjoying what the area has to offer, doing more cross-country skiing in a few weeks than I probably did in the last 10 years, getting out and snowshoeing whenever I wanted, and really just having a blast. So the juxtaposition of what I had been doing to hear about you coming in and running on the treadmill for hours just killed me. And it was right around the same time when I was out on one of these skis, I had this little thought about this phenomena in general. And I wrote a blog about it. It's on my website, bigpickwellness.com. But I titled it "Stop Running, Get Out," and literally,
was it dedicated to me?
It was probably as much time as I've spent torturing you. We have a bond, and it just probably came to me in a metaphysical level.
Wow!
But I've had lots of people too ask me, and some of the people I've coached specifically to running, they'll say, well, what do you do in the winter around here? Because, you know, if, once it snows and the roads get narrow, it's kind of dangerous. I don't like running on the roads. It's cold. So do you go to the treadmill? And I say, no, I actually hate the treadmill. So I don't run on it. So what do you do? I said, well, I don't run. I stop running in the winter because if the roads are narrow and icy and, you know, there's snow banks taking up where we would normally run, it is dangerous. And I know you have some experience with this past winter, a really sad story. It's just not safe. Mm. And going back a few years, I would switch over to treadmill. And then a couple of years ago, I decided, you know, I hate running on the treadmill. And I thought, so why do it? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the points of doing any exercise or any activity like this, that's a choice, that's a hobby of sorts, is to enjoy it. People ask me, you know, what's the best exercise I can do? I say the one you enjoy doing, because you'll do it. So I thought it was kind of funny that runners will, you know, for the sake of the run, for keeping my mileage up, subject themselves to these awful, monotonous, long sessions on a treadmill that they don't enjoy. It seems kind of silly. So, one of the things I'm really passionate about is eating local. And I thought I should bring the movement of exercising local to the forefront. And I call it a monumental minor movement. And it really, the whole idea was about kind of being in rhythm with what the seasons and what your environment offers you. Much as it's healthy to eat foods that are local and close, I think it's also healthy to exercise in a way that is also local and specific to the area you're living in.
So, Seth, does that mean, I mean, what does that mean for somebody who's training for an event that's, you know, somewhere down the line? So, you know, for me in New England, it might be the January race weekends at Disney or the Boston Marathon. For somebody in the South, it might be, you know, something off after the hot weather. Does that mean you have to, are there ways to get your miles in or to keep your fitness up to that level in doing it in a, you know, quote unquote local way?
Well, it, you know, that's the fly in the ointment. If you are doing Boston, if you're doing an early season long course Ironman or triathlon, something that requires, multi-phase, base training, etc., you more or less have to follow a certain plan. And that also depends on what your goals are. You know, mm-hmm. some people, they want to do a marathon and they just want to finish. Mm-hmm. Some people want to do a marathon and they want to break a certain time. So depending on what the goals are, the training approach is different. If someone is looking to do an event like this that falls, you know, if you need to be training in January, February, March for an April event, if your goals are more just kind of fitness and sort of finishing focus, then you can swap out some activities and still get that aerobic cross training effect. You know, you're using the legs, etc., and still get a lot of benefit from it. But if you really are trying to hit some certain time goals, etc., then it's better to follow a specific plan, and then you're on the treadmill.
Okay. So if I want to just keep my fitness up over the winter and I live in New England, or in the summer and I live in the South, you're just recommending that you do things outside or you mix it up at the gym? What would you say?
I encourage people to get out more. I think one of the casualties of our modern lifestyle is that we spend more time in front of screens and indoors and with electronics than we do around trees and nature. And I think, one of my big things as a wellness coach and a trainer is understanding and paying, being sensitive to the mind, body, and spirit connection that affects our overall health. And I think neglecting a connection with nature and the natural world has a negative effect on our overall health. So when we can't be outside running, I think it's great to find other activities that we can do outdoors to keep that connection and a lot of times strengthen it, because if people are running on the road, you've got a relatively narrow scope of exposure to the outdoors as compared to if you're hiking, mountain biking, cross-country skiing, if you're on trails in the woods. You know, you might see a deer run across the road if you're out early or late running, but there's a lot more just great moments that can happen exposed to nature when you're out in the middle of it. The other thing I think that's really beneficial about it is it mixes up the activity. It gets your body to adapt to, you know, different motion patterns. It's a lot of times when runners get injured, it's because of a repetitive stress on the body. Mm-hmm. And road running is a, you know, just a repeated beating in a very narrowly defined way. There's not a lot of change, except, you know, towards the end of a run when we're really tired and our form's falling completely apart, well then our pattern of motion is different, but it's not what it should be. So doing something like cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, you're still using the legs, you're using the glutes, you're using the big muscle groups that are involved in running, but the motion is different. The impact is significantly less. You're still getting a great cardio workout. I think cross-country skiing, I can't think of another thing that gets my heart rate up more than really an aggressive cross-country ski. So I think the other benefit is that it can prolong our life as a runner by giving the connective tissue, the bones, the joints, a little break from the impact of running.
And I was almost going to ask you the same question, but you kind of took it in a different way. You're talking about physically the benefit, and I can definitely see that. What about the mental benefit? Because I know for me, mentally, I was just completely done. I honestly had to take off the whole summer. Yeah, we've had a podcast about this. It was a job.
I've known plenty of runners who have hit that point where they're just burned out from the running A lot of times it happens when you are training for a long distance event, like somebody that's maybe doing multiple halves in a year or doing a full marathon. The mileage and the amount of time spent running to get the body ready to do that is pretty daunting. And especially when you get someone who might do this year after year, you can get to a point where you're just like, oh my God, I don't want to run anymore. That's another big benefit. If you're taking some time out in the, you know, we'll call it the off season, you know, and the off season up here for us in a sense is winter, because it gets so cold and snowy and there's a lot of other activities. For somebody in the South, the off season might be, they might change it up in the summer some. Mm-hmm. And do more fall and spring and winter running when the temperatures are lower than in the dead heat of the summer. So it kind of depends on where you are. But that's a huge thing, is that it gives your mind a break from the, not only, you know, that's the mental repetitive stress injury. You know, it's the joints and the bones take a beating, but so can the mind when you're just doing mile after mile after mile.
And you should be happy about exercising.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to do this.
The whole point of life is really, you know, it's one of my favorite saying is, the path doesn't lead to happiness. Happiness is the path.
Hmm.
What's the point of doing something if we're not happy? And especially when it's something that's such a choice, like running. You know, no one's making us run. So if we're finding ourselves feeling burnt out or sort of questioning, why am I doing this, then that's a pretty good sign that, you know, maybe it's time to mix it up a bit.
So when you ask me to do a plank, I have a choice?
No. That's okay. Totally different.
All right, okay. Mike.
You know, I really do think that years ago when a lot of myself and my friends would think about doing something like a half marathon. It was an annual thing. So when you came to the summer and the fall, and let's say we were doing the January Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, half marathon, a marathon, or whatever, you built up to that all year long, and then you would run the race, and then you would say, okay, I'm taking 1 or 2 months off. And when you came to March or April, you were, chomping at the bits to start all over again, Seth.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, to me, and now there are races around the calendar, with the exception of maybe June, July, and August, where there's kind of a break because of the heat. But I think that what I have seen from a lot of my running friends and colleagues is that, like what happened with Michelle with the Boston Marathon, I think it was more of a mental / emotional kind of a thing. It's like, I really need a break, because you don't want anything that you enjoy to become a job. You don't
Absolutely.
Want you don't want anything. For instance, you don't want to work in your playground. You don't want to have to force yourself to do something that long time ago you found enjoyable. So I agree with what you're saying, and I wanted to mention that I think that a lot of it is mental more than physical.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Mike. And it's interesting you use that word job. I think any of us who are runners and have runner friends, we've heard or felt it ourselves, but known at least somebody that's been like, oh, it feels like a job running today, or it feels like, putting in the miles is a job. And it absolutely shouldn't feel that way. You should, obviously there are days when, even today I was I went out for a trail run, and it was more of a laziness thing. I was thinking about just cashing it in today and not doing anything. But I got out and I had a fantastic run. But it's that difference of knowing, okay, this is just me being a little lazy and enjoying the fact that I'm not pushing myself versus I don't want to do this.
Mm.
And you really, and the more time you spend as a runner, as an athlete, as an active person, you get that intuition about your emotional feedback as well as your physical, when your knee or something tells you, like, I'm just a little achy right now, but keep going, I'll be fine, versus you might want to stop. It's kind of the same thing with the emotional feedback, that difference of am I just being lazy and I want to eat Doritos, or am I getting burnt out on running?
Yeah, and even, during the weather where it's perfect for running, like, I ran yesterday, but today I went out and biked for 12 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my watch, I can see how high my heart rate is going. And it was pretty close to what it was, I was going pretty fast. So it was very close to what I got to when I was running yesterday. So I felt like I was getting a good workout, but I just had this moment of, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be outside. And,
yeah.
It's just like looking at the leaves and the fall, and, you get to see, for me,
I
go on a rail trail. Yeah. I get to see a lot of different ecosystems when I'm, going on the rail trail. So, it was just this, this is awesome type of moment. And,
I think the other thing that can happen mentally too is, depending on the activity you're doing, you have the potential to push yourself in new ways or develop new skills that we don't get when we're running.
Hmm. What do you mean?
I was mountain biking with a friend just a couple of days ago in the morning, and we were on the trail having just a beautiful September New England day, and we were talking about the things we loved about mountain biking, and just we were just like two kids in a fun park out there. And one of the things that dawned on me was, when you're running, especially road, because I'm probably more of a fan of trail running, just personally, my own taste, than road running. But when you're running road, it is very easy to sort of zone out, tune out, find time to worry about things that really there's nothing you can do about it on the run anyway. Now, there can be the upside of a lot of people can find the time on the road to really just relax, let their mind sort of go, and have that alone time for themselves. Because, depending on what their family life and their their schedule is like, that might be one of the few times where they have some peace and quiet to be by themselves. But one of the big differences I noticed was that it's when you're mountain biking, for example, you're doing a ton of problem solving as you're out there on the trail. You are absolutely mentally engaged with what is happening right at that moment. And it becomes very meditative in a way, because you can't be thinking about an email that you need to get back to somebody on, or some other mundane task that is on your to-do list, because if you get too distracted, you crash. And it's a similar thing. I really enjoy winter hiking and climbing in the mountains around New Hampshire. It can require crampons, snowshoes, and you can get it in some, you know, situations where you really need to think about what you're doing and be careful, because if you do it wrong, it can have some bad consequences. And the mental side of that is that it engages those type of activities engage you in a much different way than running does. So not only do you get to change up the physical approach of an activity, depending on what you're doing, can completely change up the mental approach of an activity well as well. And I think that all of it has as benefits to us as people.
That's great. Great. So, Seth, I think that you've given us lots of different things to think about. And I know that, number one, I'm happy that I'm not doing Boston this year, because I hear that we're going to have a similar type of winter. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that, actually.
But tell Seth what we are going to do in the next month.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I might have told him this face-to-face, but we're doing a half marathon in 2 weeks, the New Hampshire marathon, half marathon. And then,
oh, very nice.
Yeah, and then BAA the week after that, and then in 2 weeks, and a third one. But, you know, we've done so much multiple race running that it actually doesn't seem like
a
big deal.
Yeah, this is nothing like running in the rain for 26.
Yeah, yeah. But and then January, another half. But I think really, before even talking to Seth, I've really thought about, I think I'm going to take a little bit of a break after that and do some other things. And, you know, I wanted to mention, too, that the outside stuff is great. I like doing tennis, too, which, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's the other thing, that sometimes when you're training, you might neglect the things that you really love. And I love tennis, so.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, tennis is a great example, too. I mean, that's indoors, but totally different type of activity. More social in
right.
nature in a lot of ways.
Right.
And... you know, you're doing tennis. One of the things I love about tennis, and I'm not good at it, but, you know, anything where you're being physically active and you're employing strategy at the same time, I mean, that's just, how cool is that?
Right.
You know.
And I get to pretend I'm Serena.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My strategy would be just to hit the ball.
Well, I mean, that's mine, too. Get it back over the net. And usually that strategy fails, but...
Anytime you want to play, let me know.
I wouldn't dare.
So this has been great. We would love to have you come back on the show again sometime. And
oh, my
and
pleasure.
Talk to us.
It's always great. Enjoy being a guest.
And remind us what your website is, so people can go visit.
Yep, it's Big Pick Wellness, BIGPIC Wellness, all one word, .com.
And can you tell us how you work with people, too? Like,
so it kind of depends on what they're doing. I obviously do the personal training locally with you and some other clients.
But I'm your favorite.
Yeah. I also work with people who are just looking for sort of a coach and guidance on improving their overall wellness, their health, mentally, emotionally, physically. I know, you know, my backstory was I spent years in corporate doing something that wasn't the right fit for me. And when I finally got out of it and went down what was a good path for me, that's really when I really realized that so much of me being happy and being quote-unquote well had little to do with the waist size of my pants or what my cholesterol level was or any of that, but just emotionally what was going on. And to get to that point, I did a lot of work with someone who was really an emotional and spiritual mentor for me. And that's what helped me realize that that is such a big piece of the puzzle that that's the other side of what I do, outside of just being mean with burpees and planks and like.
You always smile, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's fun for me. I've got the clipboard.
And you're also a running coach, too.
I am, yep.
Nice. Well, I think you're awesome, and I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm sure our listeners will, too. So thank you so much. So our guest was Seth Ziegler, and my name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and also Mike Scopa is here.
Yo!
And we will see you next time on the road. The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.